Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. At SFO, you can discover award-winning flavors and unique shops all before takeoff. Learn more about what's at SFO at flysfo.com.
Hey, what's up? I'm Erica Cruz Guevara, the host of The Bay. Donations keep independent journalism alive and healthy. And you support outstanding journalism when you support KQED. So if you haven't yet, check out donate.kqed.org/podcasts. That's donate.kqed.org/podcasts with an S.
From KQED.
So there are a lot of Bay Area musicians that we love to praise, right? We got Mac Dre. We got Santana. Got a black magic woman. Green Day.
Do you have the time?
They've helped establish what the Bay Area's identity is. A lot of these musicians, though, became famous years ago. Not Mike Marshall. Mike Marshall had to wait decades to feel recognized for his voice. And it took two movies that take place around the Bay Area to make that happen. I'm Devin Katayama. Welcome to the Bay.
Mike Marshall is an R&B singer from Berkeley, with one of the most beautiful voices I've ever heard in my life.
Chloe Veltman covers art and culture for KQED.
It's a very long career because he's 53 years old, and he had his very first hit when he was right out of high school, a song called Rumors back in 1986 that was huge. Look at all these rumors.
Mike Marshall has this really beautiful voice. How did he develop that voice?
Well, he started singing very young. He had musical talent, and he was growing up in the East Bay in the church. And his mother, who was very much a believer, would take Mike, who was the oldest of four siblings, to church, and he was singing in the choir.
Yeah, Mom was a singer at church, and she sang in the choir. So as we got older, she formed a little singing group with us for like the holidays, Easter and Sunday kind of thing. And then as we got older, we joined the youth choir and then moved to the adult choir.
He grew up in the East Bay.
He did. He was in junior high when he started doing these student talent shows. And at first, he was singing gospel songs. And apparently, those songs didn't go down very well. He tells me that the students were throwing things at him.
Come on. Really?
So cruel.
So, yeah, they were throwing stuff at me. They some of them might even knew the gospel song, but they weren't expecting it at school. And then the other ones probably didn't even know it.
He sang a song by James Ingram called Fine 100 Ways. And that was a huge hit. Instant hit. People was suddenly like, ooh, who's this Mike Marshall? Compliment what she does. But he then went to Laney College and he was studying a lot of music there. And that was where he started playing brass instruments. He was learning the piano and he got together with a friend, Marcus Thompson. They formed Timex Social Club. They had this huge hit right out the gate in 1986 called Rumours.
Can you tell me why Rumors was such a big hit?
It was very, very catchy. How do rumors get started? It started by the jealous people. And they get mad seeing something they had and somebody else is holding. You know, it had this nice little hook. And also, I think it captured the spirit of the moment. And then off the back of that, this guy called Jay King offered them a 10-record deal.
And he takes us to Starlight Studios in Richmond. 12-hour lockouts for 2 days. So we're in there for 12 hours.
And so this international song gets out there and they get offered this deal. Did they take the deal?
They didn't take the deal.
This is what happened. One day we're at the house and he comes over and he brings a contract. And one thing about me and my friends in that mixologist group of DJs hanging out, we read all the stories about how artists were being treated. Prince was complaining. Michael Jackson was complaining. So in our minds, contracts weren't something we wanted to do. We didn't. That's all we knew. We didn't know the intricacies about it or none of that. So when he brought the contract and it said it was for 10 years, we balked at that.
Mike Marshall felt at that age very strongly that he didn't want to be committed to a 10-record deal and be controlled by, you know, essentially one company that could take a lot of the power from him.
The decision by Mike Marshall to reject the contract with J. King was one of the biggest turning points in his musical career. What happens next is kind of a matter of debate. Mike Marshall says that after turning down the deal, the record label continued to profit off his ideas without his consent.
So this is the first major turning point in his career where Mike Marshall starts to feel like the world is against him and things spiral out of control because he really doesn't feel he's getting his due. So he starts taking drugs.
It started in 86, right around the time of Rumors coming out. It was overwhelming. It was time for me to get out in the world as a man. My mom wasn't, she was, what's the best way to say this? She wasn't woke in any sense. All she knew about was the church, and that's what our whole life encompassed. But outside of the church's four walls, there's a whole world that I have to navigate, and I was not prepared. So I'm bumping my head, skinning my knees at every turn.
And what happens after he starts taking drugs? Like, how far did he fall, and how far away from the music that he loved to do did he go?
He finds himself with a really bad crack cocaine habit. He's really, really low.
The circle that I was with, who I was getting high with, they seemed like they were able to stop. You know, if we got high on a Saturday, they were able to not get high again until we went back out to do that a week or 2 weeks down the road. Me, I'm craving it every day. So I was feeling that I was less than. That maybe I wasn't as strong as these guys, which is what I'm thinking my whole life is, right? They're all athletic. I struggle with that. They all can get the girls. I struggle with that. So it's a self-esteem issue.
Even though Mike was going through some really rough times, he was still making music. In 1995, the song I Got Five on It was released. It's kind of crazy to me that he was able to make a hit song in the middle of being basically at his lowest. And it speaks to this idea of, like, how transcendent his voice can be.
There's a sweetness to the voice in that hook in I Got Five on It that, you know, doesn't give anything away about what he was going through or the terrible dark place he was in his own life.
Well, at the same time, even though he's coming out with this song that goes all over the place, I Got Five on It, you still don't really know who Mike Marshall is at this time.
No, and one of the continuing refrains throughout his career, in fact, you hear it in this song. He has a song called Who Is He? And it's about the fact that he has this great voice. He's doing all this work. People know some of these songs. He has, you know, 2-3 hits that everyone is singing.
Everybody knows me. They just don't know who I am.
So when did things change for him? When did he start to get better? And then when does he kind of start to get recognized?
Around about 2004, he starts to get clean. He reconnects with his old high school sweetheart, April.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and they have a very beautiful relationship. She has been a great supporter of him through thick and thin, it seems. And so she helped him a lot, and especially with regards to getting his business affairs in order, because for a long time he wasn't getting paid, essentially, for the part that he played in some of these songs. So they straightened out a lot of paperwork and started making sure that things were as they should be in terms of getting paid, getting dues, getting rights.
So not only was he not getting really recognized in the public sphere, but he also wasn't necessarily getting recognized financially for the work he
was doing. Exactly so. That's what he says. So it's Christmas Day, and there's the Warriors are playing the Lakers.
So I'm thinking of going to town to watch it in the bar. But the phone is just blowing up so many messages. I'm like, what the hell is all this? So then I interact with somebody. I can't remember who it was, but they're like, have you seen the commercial? I was like, what commercial? Man, they just played a commercial during the halftime of the Warriors game from some movie called Us. I was like, no, I didn't see it. Well, what's going on? Man, it's your voice is in it.
I Got Five on It mean?
It's about drugs.
It's not about drugs. It's a dope song. Don't do drugs.
Get in rhythm.
So now my hair is up on my back because every now and then you'll hear my voice on something and I'm wondering, how did they get that? Who gave them that kind of thing? So I thought this was one of those kind of things. But I was like, in a movie?
Did Mike Marshall feel like this was another moment where he felt like people were capitalizing on his voice and his music?
Absolutely. He saw that there was this commercial being broadcast, this huge moment on TV, and he realizes it's a big deal because it's a movie. But he was pissed because he thinks, oh, here we go again. The same old routine. People are taking my art, they're taking my voice, they're taking my talent, and they're profiting off it, and they didn't even bother to tell me.
At the same time, Mike was getting more attention. His voice was also featured in a song in the movie The Last Black Man in San Francisco, which was released just this year.
Hey, hey, yeah.
He takes this song that I think most of us at this point, especially those people of the Bay Area, people who know the song well, who live here, who are really tired of it. It's this tired old chestnut, you
right,
know? It's
yeah,
this
yeah.
old hippie anthem that most of us are like, ugh, you know, ah, mm. enough already. And he makes it into something that is very new, that is tinged with sadness.
If you're going to San Francisco.
I think also because of the relationship with the movie, it's hard
right.
to kind of think of the song independently, but because of what the movie talks about in terms of, in fact, the wilting of this hippie flower dying and just like an entire African-American culture in this part of the world that is not able to exist here now because of gentrification, right? So that's what the film is about. And you hear this story basically in the voice that yeah. Mike Marshall brings, and the stylings, the little curlicue things he does with his voice, and their very, very unique approach to the song.
Gentle people there, gentle people will be
because they're featuring his music. Does he benefit in any way from that being on such a high-profile movie?
Well, yeah, he does. Between these two releases that happened this summer, these two big movies, Us and The Last Black Man in San Francisco, which both feature his musical talents, now he is really, his career is starting to come into focus in a way that maybe it hasn't done before. You know, he has now more of a solid business understanding. He has systems in place where he can get more recognition, where he can make some money. He has someone looking out for him, April, his wife. So, you know, as a result of Us and Last Black Man, things are, I think, starting to change for him.
Does he feel like Us and The Last Black Man in San Francisco, which at least here in the Bay Area were huge hits, does he feel like those movies have propelled him to a place that he always wanted to be?
I think he feels like he's on the right track.
I have 3 or 4 worldwide hits, and I still can't get a job. Can't get nobody to call me back. I'm only getting this attention right now because of both of these movies.
He's getting opportunities now as a result of them. Ellen DeGeneres has picked up I Got Five on It for her show. I think there's an amusement park that's also using that song. He's doing more gigs, more live appearances.
I mean, you had a like 2.5-hour conversation with him. Mm. When you think about the things that were most striking to you at the end of that and like his journey, what's your takeaway?
Well, I think for me personally, being somebody who's I'm somewhat obsessed with a human voice, I feel very strongly that this voice that he has is an incredibly special thing. Like all the things he's been through, doesn't make sense that he should have still such a beautiful instrument. Even people who take such good care of their voices, you know, by the time they reach their 50s, the high notes have gone, it's a little more gravelly, they don't have the same flexibility. So I think if there's one takeaway for me, it's that, you know, no matter what someone might have been through in their life, there's a part of them, and in this case, this man's voice, that no one can touch.
Mike Marshall wants to make more music, some original stuff and some covers, including a brand new version of the Alphabet song.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V.
Chloe Veltman covers art and culture for KQED. I'm Devin Kadayama. That's it for The Bay. Talk to you Wednesday.
Hi, I'm Sasha Coca, host of the California Report magazine. Every week, we bring you stories about what connects us in the giant, diverse Golden State. Because what happens in California changes the world.
I love this place. We were once seen as, like, the place to be, California. The land of milk and honey. That's where you go to Sunshine State. But we just have challenges right now.
KQED's California Report magazine. New episodes drop every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Avery Truffleman, host of Articles of Interest, and I've got to say, I've been a fan of KQED ever since I was a little kid, and I would come out to San Francisco to visit my grandma. It was just what we'd always turn on every time we got in the car, every time we were making dinner and turning on the radio. It was always KQED. And then over the years, I've become a massive fan of KQED podcasts because this is local reporting at its best. These are answers to questions you've always wanted to know, interviews with exciting, unusual voices, necessary journalism, all told with love and care and artistry. And did you know that a majority of KQED's funding actually comes from members? It's just people like you and me supporting the programs they love, while also getting access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. If you want to sign up and be a part of this amazing community, visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts to become a member today. That's podcasts with an S. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your support.